हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थो मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 26, chapter 15, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Spontaneous Devotional Service. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Nibritaihi means with extreme steadiness, and thus indicates processes such as dharana. The Brahman, Yadi, which the sages worship by fixing themselves in yoga, by highly controlled pranas, mind and senses, aksha, with only a possibility of attaining it, is attained by the enemies of the Lord by remembering him with hatred. Right, so these jnanis and that, they work so hard to absorb themselves, control the senses and all that, and to attain the Brahman platform. But these enemies of the Lord, just by always being absorbed in remembering him, they've already attained whatever these big yogis and these big jnanis have already gotten with so much trouble. Right? So the point is that touch with the Lord is what makes it work. The gopis absorbed in thinking. Vishakta dhyaha. Of the arms of Krishna, they're like the body of the king of snakes. Ugrendra bogha. Right? So the point is just remembering the Lord, that's what gets the qualities. Because we'll say, no, unless the good qualities are there, it can't happen. No, it's absorption in the Lord is what makes things happen. Connecting to the Lord is what makes things happen. So it's not a matter of, we define that unless it's good qualities. Because good qualities are naturally there in the devotee. They naturally come with devotional service. But we define that without it, then bhakti can't happen. Like if someone's not behaving nicely, oh, he can't be a devotee, he can't develop bhakti. But the point is no, if you're absorbed in the Lord, you can. And then by that, those impurities, those will go away. Yeah? 1.2.283. Here is the definition of kama rupa ragatmika bhakti. That type of bhakti with full absorption in the beloved is called kama rupa bhakti, which produces an intrinsic thirst for the conjugal relation with the Lord in the Atma. It is called bhakti because in that condition there is only eagerness for giving pleasure to Krishna. Right? So that's the point, is why it's bhakti, because it's only about giving pleasure to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. The quote-unquote lusty attitude of the gopis does not refer to any sort of sex indulgence. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that this quote-unquote lusty desire refers to the devotee's particular attitude of association with Krishna. Every devotee in his perfectional stage has a spontaneous attraction to the Lord. This attraction is sometimes called the quote-unquote lusty desire of the devotee. The lust is the devotee's excessive desire to serve the Lord in a particular capacity. That's why we see it's more intense than the others. Right? So it takes on that quality. Is that? Yeah. It means excessive desire. So, therefore, in the Kama Rupa, it's more than any of the other rasas in the desire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then we see within the gopis, then it has the most. Right. Such a desire may seem to be a desire for enjoying the Lord, but actually the endeavor is to serve the Lord in that capacity. For example, a devotee may be desiring to associate with the personality of Godhead as his cowherd friend. He will want to serve the Lord by assisting him in controlling the cows in the pasturing ground. This may appear to be a desire to enjoy the company of the Lord, but actually it is spontaneous love, serving him by assisting in managing the transcendental cows. Right? That's the whole point. It's about Krishna. It doesn't have this other aspect to it. Srila Jiva Goswami. Kama should be described as a particular type of prema with full spontaneous absorption in the beloved object, which was already mentioned in the definition of ragatmika bhakti. This verse begins to describe kama rupa ragatmika bhakti, that type of bhakti, sa, whose very form is prema, not material lust, is called kama rupa in this verse and no other type, and which produces a thirst for conjugal enjoyment with the Lord as one's essential nature. What is the cause for this kama being prema? In that kama rupa bhakti, there is only an intense zeal for the happiness of Krishna. So that's what makes it bhakti prema. Because it's only about pleasing Krishna. It's only for Krishna's happiness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Kama should be described as a particular type of prema with full spontaneous absorption in the beloved object. This has already been mentioned in the definition of ragatmika bhakti. That which is famous as prema, sa, is called kama rupa in this verse. Right? Because you have the ragatmika bhakti, but it has two forms. So there's a generic definition, then you'll see is that more specific. Other varieties are excluded. Right? So that means all the sambandha and then anything expanding from the sambandha rupa. Right? The verse covers only the characteristics of kama rupa. What is its effect? The thirst for conjugal enjoyment, famous as kama or lust, is actually a thirst composed of prema alone, with no trace of material lust. And this thirst becomes one's essential nature, svatam. The verse then explains the reason that this kama is equal with prema. Because, syad, in this thirst for enjoyment, asyam, there is complete eagerness of the gopis of Braja only for pleasing Krishna, and not a thirst for their personal enjoyment. They're not trying to enjoy anything from this. It's like sometimes we'll do a service because we like the service, right? So it takes on that spontaneous aspect. But there is the aspect of, I like the effect of the service that I experience. That'll be the lower stage. We see at this higher stage, they like the effect of the of Krishna's experience of that. Yes. Interaction.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. Like, I'm chanting and I like the effect that I feel,
yes,
rather than the effect that Krishna feels.
Yes.
Yes. Does that make sense? That's where the difference comes up. Yes. So that's why they say it's only about serving him. Yes. You know, that's the meaning of it. So it's an attitude of service in this conjugal mood. Right? So it's not about the sexual activity. It's about the conjugal mood. And serving Krishna in that, because he's Adi Rasa, so therefore he is the origin of all rasa, and so then this original rasa, therefore that aspect is also present in Krishna. So they want to serve Krishna through that medium.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing out Krishna's pleasure in the interaction,
mm-hmm,
like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Marai, this kama rupa bhakti is only conjugal rasa.
It's only conjugal rasa. No, the other rasas are called sambandha.
Yes.
Right? Because it's about the relationship. Yes. So they're all sambandha.
Yes.
But because the kama is so outstanding in its effect,
yes,
it has its own title.
Yes.
Though it's all relationship. Mm-hmm. Right? Sambandha rupa means it's based on the form of relationship. So it's also that. But it stands out in its own. The intensity is so much greater than the others.
Yes.
Yes.
Chanting, like, how do we understand that Krishna is pleased with this effort of us?
Because he's come as Lord Chaitanya to ask us to do that. So are we doing it because by chanting my heart will get purified, I'll get rid of the sins, I'll get rid of my miseries, or, you know what I'm saying, or by chanting because it's a religious process, then everything should be auspicious and my life should go very smoothly, or is it I'm chanting, Lord Chaitanya has asked us to chant, so we're doing that to please him. You know what I'm saying? So like that, it just moves forward. And then there's the chanting because you like the chant,
yeah,
you know, and you like that, you know, that association and chanting and glorifying Krishna. So it naturally moves forward. But the point is as this area was pointing out before this, is that connecting it to Krishna is what makes it dynamic. Because we could say, you don't have any affection, so then, you know, what's the point of chanting? The point is, it's connected to Krishna. The demons are just thinking of Krishna, though their service is unfavorable. But because it's connected to Krishna, they move forward in devotional service. Okay, 1.2.284. This very famous Kamarupa Bhakti appears with brilliance in the women of Raja. So that's the thing, is that it's the most intense. So it's brilliant there. The other places, then it's not. But with them it is. They have a particular type of prema which has a special sweetness. It is called Kama by the wise because it is the cause of various amorous actions. Srila Prabhupada. Sensual attraction. This extreme desire to serve the Lord is manifest in the transcendental land of Braja, and it is specifically manifested among the gopis. The gopis' love for Krishna is so elevated that for our understanding, it is sometimes explained as being quote-unquote lusty desire. Mm-hmm. Right, just for our understanding, but it's beyond that. It's about rasa, right, in some sense. Srila Jiva Goswami. The author gives an example of this Kama Rupa Bhakti. Its famous nature, Supra Siddha, is illustrated in the following verse, which was spoken by the gopis when Krishna left them in the midst of the Rasa Lila. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. Right, so you see, it's a mood. It's an attitude, right? Mm-hmm. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-19. Okay. So here, quote. But in such examples, the word kama rupa actually should be kamatmika, completely filled with thirst. The phrase kama rupa expresses only bhakti composed of conjugal accents, and not the conjugal emotions. Whereas the phrase kamatmika, bhakti completely inundated with conjugal feelings, indicates bhakti endowed with conjugal feelings as well as actions. It would not be possible for that thirst composed only of actions to cause complete transformation into prema. However, even though this kamarupa is composed of action, this action will produce a transformation because part of the action is the action of the mind. In the mind, the person thinks, Krishna will attain happiness for me. End quote. Thus, the transformation into prema in the atma will take place, since both body and mind are involved. So you don't have to call it kamatmika. Right? Because they're just trying to take it that further, you know, get that, squeeze that little bit more juice out of it, like that. But no, it's just the kamarupa is enough. Because the point is it has a form. The mood changes. Anyway, any of these, sambandha rupa, it changes. That friendship, it changes. That desire to serve and all these things. So it includes the mind. 1.2.285. Thus, in a tantra, it is said, the Kamarupa Bhakti of the gopis has become famous simply as prema. Srila Prabhupada. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Krishnadas, has explained the distinction between lusty desire and the service attitude in this statement. Quote, lusty desire refers to the desire to gratify one's personal senses. And transcendental desire refers to desire for serving the senses of the Lord. Right? That's the difference. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 4.165. In the material world, there is no such thing as a lover is wanting to please the senses of his beloved. Actually, in the material world, everyone wants mainly to gratify his own personal senses. Right? That may be done through gratifying someone else's senses. Right? But the point is it's about your own senses. But here, that's why it's different. It's not about one's own senses. It's about Krishna. Right? The gopis, however, wanted nothing at all but to gratify the senses of the Lord. And there's no instance of this in the material world. Therefore, the gopis' ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes described by scholars as being like the, quote-unquote, lusty desire of the material world. But actually, this should not be taken as a literal fact. It is simply a way of trying to understand the transcendental situation, right? Because the transcendental situation appears that it's based on lusty desire. But it's not. It's based on prema. Right? In other words, it's the environment in which that is. In other words, that masculine-feminine interaction that has that kind of conjugal flavor. That's then the situation that we're dealing with here. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. 1.2.286. And because it is a form of exalted prema, persons such as Uddhava, dear to the Lord, desire that aspect of it. That means that it's just about Krishna. So that aspect of it. It means the form, he already has his relationship. That Friendship? I think he's one of those ones that's a mix. Friendship and servitorship or something like that. Like Yudhishthira is a mix. Srila Prabhupada. Great devotees up to the standard of Uddhava are the dear friends of the Lord, and they desire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, right? Meaning that there's that full absolute surrender. That's the aspect. So the gopis' love for Krishna is certainly not material lusty desire. Otherwise, how could Uddhava aspire to follow in the footsteps? Right? Because one, they're a devotee, so if it's material, why would he do that? Mm-hmm. And two, is if he's trying to follow in their footsteps, then the point is that the medium for it's different than the medium he uses. So it's not about that. It's about that attitude of full surrender. Yeah.
Usually we always miss the point and always desire the external.
Yes.
That's why devotees usually ask that question, can we change our swarup?
Yes, because there's always this whole thing. Because what's the basis of how can we change? Who's it in consideration of?
Ourself.
Yes, it's ourself. Because either we're looking at it, will I be completely satisfied? Or, hey, I just want to, pick and choose, take a little bit of here and there, like a buffet or something, like that. And a buffet of devotional experiences, like that. And, yes, or we have the aspect of a prestigious thing. Is that, okay, if this one's higher than that one, and if I'm in a lower one, can I change to the higher one because it's more prestigious? like that. So that's where you start to see is that when it's distinguished, then you can see is that these don't matter at all. It's about pleasing Krishna. And it's about the mood in which you want to please Krishna. It's just like in the kirtan. Someone wants to sing, someone wants to play madanga, someone wants to play kartals, someone wants to dance. So it's all part of it. That's why the Sankirtan is there. It's all there. So it's not a matter of prestige. It's just a matter of doing. You say, no, but, the leading's the most prestigious. So now if everybody in the temple room is trying to sing and all that, you can't do that. It's a style like that. But the difficulty comes in is that you won't be able to do a lot of variety or everything like that, Another instance is Lord Chaitanya himself. After accepting the sannyasa order of life, he was very, very strict about avoiding association with women. But still he taught that there is no better method of worshipping Krishna than that conceived by the gopis. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7.43. Thus, the gopis' method of worshipping the Lord, as if impelled by lusty desire, was praised very highly even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This very fact means that although the attraction of the gopis for Krishna appears to be lusty, it is not in the least bit material. So it's not about the secondary aspect. It's about that mood. And those secondary aspects happen to be the situation, as Prabhupada said. It's a situation. Like that. It's simply a way of trying to understand the transcendental situation. So therefore, then Krishna and then the young gopis and then how they interact and talk and, the banter and all these things that are typical in the secondary elements of between men and women. So then the idea is that it's that situation, but it's not that attitude of trying to gain something yourself. It's simply to please Krishna through this. Unless one is fully situated in the transcendental position, the relationship of the gopis with Krishna is very difficult to understand. But because it appears to be just like ordinary dealings with young boys and girls, it is sometimes misinterpreted to be like ordinary sex in this material world. Unfortunately, persons who cannot understand the transcendental nature of the love affairs of the gopis and Krishna take it for granted that Krishna's love affairs with the gopis are mundane transactions. And therefore, they sometimes indulge in painting licentious pictures in some modernistic style. This is... Where is this from? Oh, this is Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. Yeah. You do see that. You do see this. Srila Jiva Goswami. The word iti indicates the reason why Kama Rupa Bhakti is well known as prema. Uddhava, by expressing his desire in the following verse, makes that Kama Rupa Bhakti famous as prema. Because it's that prema, it's that attraction to Krishna. That's the point. That love for Krishna to just please Krishna and nothing else. That's the point that Uddhava and so many others are impressed by, yes.
We always hear that the devotees want to please Krishna and Krishna wants to please the devotees. So I don't see who's the enjoyer.
Krishna.
But he wants to please the devotees. So
that's his enjoyment to please the devotees.
And the devotees want to please Krishna. So they're also enjoying.
Yes, but because Krishna is pleased, that's why they're enjoying.
Krishna is also pleased when...
Yes, but who's making the system? Who made the system? So it's Krishna's system. Does that make sense? That we didn't make it. Otherwise, we just sit on the couch and please ourselves. Like that. You know, so that's the point. Among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahmana, or even as Lord Brahma himself? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-58. You know, so that's the point. He is a high-class Brahmana, right? You know, he's trained in the heavenly. Brihaspati is his guru, right? So then he can make this statement, right? The word etam indicates prema. So that's the point. Is the attitude? That's what they want to follow. That full surrender of the gopis. That's the point. Does that make sense? So everybody can have that appreciation. You can appreciate the gopis. You don't have to say it's only those with that attitude of serving Krishna as gopis. Then they deal in this. You know, this idea is only do that. Point is that no, everybody appreciates because the surrender is so perfect. The word etam indicates prema similar to theirs, etad drisha, similar to their intense prema, ludhabhava, characterized by emotions, by which they identify themselves as conjugal lovers of Govinda. However, it should be understood that he actually did not desire the gopi's particular type of prema, because such a desire would suggest he is forcing conformity to the goal of Kamarupa Bhakti on the desires of liberation, Bhava Bhya, liberated Muniyaha and the devotees, Vayam. Thus there would be no existence of other Stai Bhavas such as Shakya or Dasya. Right? Uddhava desired the intensity of their prema, but not their Kamarupa Bhava. Right? That particular Rati they have, not, but the point of the intensity of the prema, that attraction to Krishna, and that intensity of emotion, that's desired. But the specific rati, and that specific stai bhav, that he's not interested in, because he already has his, and other devotees have theirs. But, desire caused the intensity, desired the intensity of the prema, but not the kama rupa bhava, which causes the intensity. Thus, when Uddhava says he desires the prema, he does not desire the kama rupa bhava. Right? So that may be the background that caused the udipan for it, but the point is that, or the alambana of it, but that's the point, is he has his own alambana. It's the intensity of that full absorption then is appreciated. Srila Jiva Goswami. That Kubja had a prominence of kama as evidenced in her not showing the actions of the pure prema of the gopis. The pure prema is illustrated in the following verse. Oh, dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently.
We didn't start the verse.
We didn't. Oh. Oh, because up here was Jiva Goswami. We just continued with Jiva Goswami. Okay. 1.2.287. But the wise agree that the attraction to Krishna seen in Kubja is essentially due to kama only. Right? So of these forms of kama. Means the gopis, that's what others are impressed by. No one's saying anything about the queens at Dwarka or the Mahishis in Mathura. Right? Because they're, you know, they're devotees in their capacity. And, you know, and Kubja's being pointed out is that it's a little bit less. But the queens is not pointing out, oh, when will you have that devotion like the queens? No. It's the gopis. Everybody's saying that. It's just that their intensity is so great, everybody appreciates it. Srila Prabhupada. On the other hand, right, so we discussed the gopis and their position. On the other hand, the lusty desire, notice it's not in quotations, because in the gopis it was quote-unquote lusty desire. With Kubja it just says lusty desire. The lusty desire of Kubja is described by learned scholars as being, quote, almost lusty desire, because it's connected to Krishna. There is the idea to please Krishna, but there is the idea about themselves. Right? Kubja was a hunchback woman who wanted Krishna with great ecstatic love, but her desire for Krishna was almost mundane, and so her love cannot be compared to the love of the gopis. Her loving affection for Krishna is called Kama Praya, or almost like the gopis' love for Krishna. Right? So it's not Kama Rupa, Baba. It's Kama Praya. So that's considered that it's about herself. It's connected to Krishna, but it's about herself. So it's always going to be uplifting in that. Because we see, that's why it says, even if it's the envy, the fear, you know, lust, so these things, they will bring you closer to Krishna. But because hers is about the person, and about interacting with the person, while the others is unfavorable. Because her, she's seeing it in a favorable light. But the point is, that, you know, her position in connection with Krishna. But the thing is Krishna is not interested in these secondary aspects. So therefore, it's not attractive to him. He comes and sits and then talks with her, you know, and interacts like that. But then he leaves. Then he also comes with Uddhava. Right? And so that you have that masculine-feminine interaction. But it doesn't go very... Because farther than that, and her service doesn't have any fine elements to it, you know, like the gopis do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. That Kubja had a prominence of kama is evidence in her not showing the actions of the pure prema of the gopis. The pure prema is illustrated in the following verse. Oh, dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about in the forest path. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.19. She, on the other hand, exhibits only lusty actions. Now, endowed with beauty, character, and generosity, Trivakra began to feel lusty desires for Lord Keshava. Taking hold of the end of his upper cloth, she smiled. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.42.9. However, she is said to have rati to a small degree because the object of her attraction was Krishna. Right? So, because the object is there, so there's the small degree, but it's not considered significant. You know, then the queens at Dwarka, then that's considered to be in a full degree. But we have because of the presence of the part of the swakya that are being married, then you have the interaction there of. Doing of that, it's about Krishna, and it's about themselves. It has that mix, right? But for the gopis in Vrindavan, it's just about Krishna. That's the uniqueness. So they're the highest of all, like that. At some other point, the technical terms of this will come up, you know, and all that in the discussion. Chapter 16, spontaneous devotion further described. 1.2.288. Next, Sambandha Rupa, Ragatmika Bhakti will be discussed, right? So we gave the basis of the whole thing and then discussed the Kama Rupa. Because you see is that in the discussions, the Acharyas always start from the top and then work down. Because if you understand pure devotion, then you can understand devotion that's, you know, practicing to become that. And what are the elements that are mixed? But if you just start off with all the details of the others, then you won't really know what's the essential pure devotion. So that's why in the descending process, you start from the top, you start from the essence. Sambandha Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti is the bhakti inspired by great absorption arising from identifying oneself as the parent, friend, or servant of Govinda. This refers to the bhakti of the cowherd people, which is indicated by the word Sambandhad Vrishnayaha, quoted in verse 275, as an example of Sambandha. This is because these other relationships in Braja also have a predominance of intense affection, raga, caused by a lack of awareness of Krishna as God. Right? So even if you tell them, they know, but they're unaware of it in the relationship. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Like that. Srila Prabhupada. Relationship. Right. So before was... Oh, okay. That was where, because Prabhupada before on the other one that showed it was sensual attraction. As the Kama Rupa, Ragatmika Bhakti, and now he's showing relationship, the Sambandha Rupa, Ragatmika Bhakti. In the attitude of the denizens of Vrindavan, such as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda, it is to be found the ideal transcendental concept of being the father and mother of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Factually, no one can become the father and mother of Krishna, but a devotee's possession of such transcendental feelings is called love of Krishna in a parental relationship. The Vrishnis, Krishna's relatives at Dwarka, also felt like that. So spontaneous love of Krishna in the parental relationship is found both among those denizens of Dwarka who belong to the dynasty of Vrishni and among the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So here you see the Vrishnis, now they're talking about them in Dwarka. Mm-hmm. But before, you see the context, it simply meant the Brajvasis. Because those in Dwarka, theirs is an expansion of the love of the Brajabasis. Because the Brajabasis, it's all spontaneous. Right? So that's Ragatmika. The other ones, they have the parental rasa, relationships, but it's not technically Ragatmika in Dwarka. Because it has that aspect of majesty. So that full spontaneity is not there, because there is the understanding of him being God. Right? Does that make sense? So, it will have the... It'll be Sambandha Rupa Bhakti, but it technically won't be Ragatmika. Right? So, Prabhupada's showing that there is that connection because that's how it's expanding. Right?
So, Maharaj, can we say that when Krishna is coming in Dwarka, Mathura, or the places, it is always with the expansion of his associate from Golika Vrindavan?
Yes, it's just as he is expanding, they're expanding. It means we have Krishna in Dwarka.
Yes.
Now, as a personality, he'll take it as the same personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same person.
Yes.
Just like Balaram's the same person. But technically, Krishna's expanded as Balaram.
Yes.
Right? Then, Balaram's expanded as Mahanarayan. Mahanarayan expands as the Mahachatravyuha. Now, I'm not sure if exactly then Vasudeva and Shankarshan of that Mahachatravyuha is Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka, or they're an expansion of that. But I think they are those two. So, it's already that, but still it's considered the same person. It's just that with the residents of Dwarka, you don't need that fullness of sweetness and all that that's there in Krishna for their bhakti, because their bhakti is mixed with majesty.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's that... Yeah, no, I think it's that original, the Mahanarayan and his expansions, that direct expansions, there in Mathura. And then Vasudeva and Sankarshan then expand, and they're in Dwarka. Like that. And then from that Sankarshan there in Mathura, then you expand and you get the Purusha avatars. Right? And then from Sankarshan and Dwarka, then they'll expand and you'll start getting the Vaikuntha planets. Something like that.
It's only like pastime, Maharaj.
Yes, it's just pastime. It's just because that's all you need to manifest. You know, it's just like, let's say, just for example, Yeah, just like how much you're manifesting. Let's say the ones at a, you know, a black tie event where they have, you know, the tuxedos, the formal ones, like the, you know, all that. Now, when they're in the main hall or the main thing, then they fully manifest. But let's say that there is some kind of break, or, you know, let's say your family or friends are arranging the program, so naturally there's the area where it's happening, but because of that relationship, you can go into the inside room. Yes. And so yourself and that friend and maybe a few other intimate friends, you know, you take off the hat, take off the coat, you know, even take off the waistcoat, and then sit around and talk and this and that and like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's the same people.
Yes.
But you're manifesting less.
Yes.
Right? And then it's time, then you know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say they're all sitting around laughing and joking. Mm-hmm. Now let's say the mother walks in. Everybody will stand up and take on that kind of mood and all that. And, you know, and if there's need, they might make some adjustment in their clothing or something.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So it's just, it's the same person, but it's just because of the environment, it adjusts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. You know? So, or let's say someone's very expert. Let's say you have an Olympic bicycle. You know, I mean, he does the, what do you call it? You know, the one in France?
Tour de France.
Yes. Yeah, so he does that, right? And he's like that. But, you know, his friend, his kid is starting to learn to ride a bicycle. So he'll be out there and showing him, giving him some pointers and all that. But, you know, you're not manifesting the whole thing. You just, how much, you know, hold on, look straight, watch where you're going, try to balance, you know, push on the pedals, you know. You know what I'm saying? So it's just you manifest how much you need, and that's all. You don't manifest more, because that's all the relationship is. If you manifest more, it won't match the rasa.
Mm-hmm.
So just like in Vaikuntha, because all they see him is God, then these elements of sweetness, where majesty is not important, aren't manifest. But it's not that it's not the same person. That's why you see is that Gopu Kumar plays flute for the Lord.
Yes.
You know, in the court, and you know, a few eyebrows are raised, and this is not formal enough, and all that. And so then on the side, some come and say, you know, hey, you know, you should, you know, this is the Lord, you should be formal, you should do all this. And then after that, he's still, you know, then some others come along and say, you know, don't worry about it, you know, this is your relationship, you know, that's fine. But in front of all these other, you know, in that formal situation, you know, don't do that.
Yes.
And then they go away, and then afterwards, then Vishnu himself comes, you know, his forearms and everything like that. And then when there's just him and Gopu Kumar, then he pulls out his flutes, two arms, there's cows everywhere, and then they have a great time.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? And then after that, then, you know, puts the flute away, and then four arms, and then the cows disappear, and he walks back into the palace, right? So that's the whole thing, is that it depends on the devotee. So, because these two don't match nicely, therefore there's Goloka and there's Vaikuntha. And then because you have this mix, therefore there's Dwarka and then there's Vrindavan. Right? But they're all related. So then you see is that at Kurukshetra, they all get together and they hang out for 3 months and they're quite comfortable together. Right? So it's that means that closeness and that's there. Because just imagine, you were getting together with the extended family, you know, hundreds of members, and that you're going to be with them for 3 months, like that, and doing stuff together, right? You know, it might not work out as good. But you see here is that they're quite happy with that. But at the same time, there is a slightly different flavor. That's why then the Braj Basis then at one point go back to Braj, because they can fully absorb themselves in that mood. So, yes. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. Pitri Tvad Yabhi Manita. Having identity as father, etc., of Krishna, actually means, quote, inspired by intense affection, raga, caused by that identity as father, etc. Right? Because that attraction, they have that rati, that specific attraction to Krishna. The reference to the Vrishnis is from the Bhagavatam verse quoted in verse 275 of the text. One should take the word Vrishni to mean cowherd men rather than inhabitants of Mathura and Dwarka. Right? So Prabhupada's mentioned it there because we saw later in the explanation, after they said that it specifically means the Brajavasis, that it said that these others are called Sambandha only because they're expanded from.
Yes.
But actually they're in a different, they're not Ragatmika Bhakti. Ragatmika is only in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Right? But Prabhupada's showing the broadness, how it all connects. Like that. But if you're being technical, it means them, but it doesn't mean that the others, it's not the same principle. Just it's less intense, so it's not Ragatmika. It'll have Rag, but won't have the same. This is an example of Aja Hal Lakshana. The original meaning of the word is not given up completely. Right? 13. King Deva Midha of the Yadu clan had two wives, one of Kshatriya family, the other of Vaishya family. Through the Kshatriya wife, he bore a son named Sura, and through the Vaishya wife, he bore a son named Parjanya. Sura had a son named Vasudeva, a Kshatriya, and Parjanya had a son named Nanda, a cowherd. Thus, Nanda and his family of cowherds should be considered Vrishnis also. However, usually the term refers to the Vrishni family in Mathura and Dwarka. In Lakshana, the direct meaning must be given up in favor of some other meaning. Here, the direct meaning does not make sense, right? Because they're talking about that Ragatmika Bhakti. So it can't mean the Vrishnis of Mathura and Dwarka. So it has to mean the Vrishnis of Vrindavan, who are descendants of the same line, the Vrishni line. If the meaning is given up completely, then it is called Jaha Lakshana. If only part of the original meaning given up, it is called Ajaha Lakshana. In this case, the complete meaning of Vrishni is not given up, but refer only to Nanda's lineage of cowherd men in the Vrishni line, and not the inhabitants of Mathura and Dwarka, since their devotion was mixed with Aishwarya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the point. So it stays there, but at the same time, is it because it doesn't? It can mean the other because that's expanding from there. Right, so the aspect of not making too much distinction, because we tend to make too much distinction and there's no connection, but it's not. It's the same thing. It's just that this is, you know, more the absorption is greater, more intense. It is similar to the use of the syllable num in the following sutra. It says, At kupvan num, Vya va ye pi, footnote 14. After ri, sha, or re, long or short or long in the same word, the cerebral N takes the place of the dental na, even with intervention of a vowel, ya, va, or ha, a guttural or labial. The preposition a in the augment num. Panini 8:42. Num actually means the dental na, but in this rule it stands for Anushwara only. Right. So we see is that what do we call it? What does it say? Oh, where was it? Here. No. Oh, it's up here. Yeah, see the num, you have the M. So it would be an Anushwara, it should be at the dot, or like that. And so then that's taking the place of the N. You know, so the end with the dot at the end, that takes that. Otherwise, it would be the regular end. But because of the particular thing where it's falling. So whenever you have these R's, then there is rules that happen. Because when you have a word that has an R in it, depending on what's following it, you tend to change how you pronounce it. So as we said before, the Sanskrit then already has the you know, kind of like the slang built in. Does that make sense? You know, it's just let's say you have just as an example, we're having here the Sunday where it's coming together. We have hey you, Right? So in Sanskrit, by the various grammatical words, rules of Panini, then the hey, you know, becomes dropped, and then the you becomes transformed because of the hey at the beginning. So that, anything like that. So you end up with just yo. You understand? So Sanskrit, that's worked in. That's why you don't see that there's any slang and anyone changes it, because it's already worked in.
Yes.
Well, in the contemporary languages, it's not worked in. And so people are speaking their high language, whatever it is, you know, and then it's just degrading from there. Because it's not worked in. Right? Otherwise, everyone would be talking the same language, same dialect, but there would be a slightly more or less sophistication in it. A simplification, but here it's just they're changing. Yeah, does that make sense? So he's saying that it just comes in there like that. So here, just the word num in the sutra stands for Anushwar in practical application. So Vrishni stands for the cowherd men of Vraja in the context of the verse. Right, so it takes on that transformation. You're taking that, because generally you say Vrishni's because it's coming down in that king's line from what was the king? Deva Amida. But the point is you're taking this line, because it doesn't apply to the other line because of the Aishwarya. So it only applies to the line coming down through Nanda Baba. The cowherds exhibit a predominance of raga without a mixture of reverence for him as the Lord, which was present in the Vrishnis in Dwarka. Right? So if you just say the Vrishnis in general and you're talking, that could mean
both.
Or could mean just the Dwarka. But when you're talking in the context of ragatmika bhakti, then it has to be that side of it. So this other becomes, you don't really notice it.
This kind of things are spoken in the context just to, in one sense, like giving an indirect meaning so that it is hidden. Those who don't understand.
Yes, and they won't, then they'll just take it as Dwarka Vasis and they won't understand, because the point is it's still about prema bhakti. You're talking about the Dwarkavasis, it's still prema bhakti, and it's still glorious. But if you're talking about ragatmika and they don't understand, then they'll just take it as there. And even in most circles, if someone's serving in Dwarka, that'll be considered a higher position. Because most it's Vaikuntha. Right? So then Dwarka is considered a special position. Especially when you're quoting Uddhava and the other persons like that. So then it works. But here is that for those who will know, then they can see.
Mm-hmm.
And then and Krishna says in the 11th canto, he appreciates this kind of explanation. Because it's hidden. So those who know will catch it, and those who don't won't.
That's why among the four prominent places which the general Indians consider Hindus, Dwarka is there, but not Vrindavan, they don't add it.
Yeah. No, that would be there amongst those who are into, then it's there. But otherwise, as far as the formal and all that, then Dwarka is very major piece. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The word Vrishnayaha in the phrase Sambandad Vrishnayaha, the Vrishnis attained perfection by relationships, indicates Vallava, cowherd men. The reason for indicating only the cowherd men instead of meaning both the cowherd men and the yadus is then given by the phrase, quote, because they have a predominance of spontaneous absorption, raga, caused by a lack of awareness of Krishna's God. The sense of the verse is as follows. Bhaktya vayam referred to vaidhi bhakti, and the Vrishni's bhakti would be included in that type of bhakti. In the beginning of the verse, the gopis were mentioned as the prime examples of kama rupa ragatmika bhakti. Therefore, the residents of Braja, the cowherd men, should be considered as the chief examples of sambandarupa ragatmika bhakti. If the meaning of Vrishni is taken to be relatives in Dwarka, the enumeration of types of bhakti would be incomplete, with a fault of deficiency. Right? So, deficiency means your explanation doesn't include everything, so something's missing. And because it's missing, then there's going to be a problem. Right? It's not fully explained. Because you're giving a definition, so it has to be properly explained. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Footnote 15. In the Bhagavatam list, fear and hatred were discarded as bhakti. The remaining types were kama, sambandha, sneha, and vaidhi bhakti. Since vaidhi bhakti and raganuga are the two sadhanas for attaining the Lord, and Madhurya Raganus are represented by Kama, the other types of love and Vraja must be represented by Sambandha, of the coward men who are also Vrishnis, right? Because then you have Vaidhi. That will be Dwarka. Right? Because it gave the five different lists. Right? Because then some bring out that there's six, but they're just trying to bring a detail out of one of the five. Right? So then here you have Kama Sambandha, Sneha, and Vaidhi Bhakti. So we've removed the fear and hatred, that they're not pure bhakti. Both, they give an effect, you'll get liberated. Right? And so then Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga are two sadhanas within that. So that means then the Kama and Sambandha will be in one group, and then the Vaidhi will be in the other. Right? And so then within the Raganuga, then you're going to get Kama and Sambandha, Sneha. Does that make sense? So that means it has to be understood as leaving out the Dwarkavasas.
Vaidhi is Vaikuntha.
Yeah, Vaikuntha, because Dwarka is Vaikuntha. It's just the highest realm of Vaikuntha. There, Mathura, these are the highest realms of Vaikuntha. In other words, Goloka is the highest realm of Vaikuntha, and Gokul is the highest realm within Goloka. So Braj is then it's in its own category. So that's the original, and then from there it expands. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.